confused all of us. Let me welcome the department, led by the Deputy Minister, and honorable members present here. The meeting is in order, we do correct, and therefore we will proceed. The first thing to do really is to check if there are any apologies.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. Today's apologies are from Babu Zulu, Babu Ntapane, and DG. Thank you.
The apologies will be noted and recorded.
And the minister as well. Thank you.
Where is the minister? It will be accordingly recorded. Deputy Minister?
Also, I'm sitting from the TG. He attended another meeting in Pretoria. Thank you very much.
Okay, apologies recorded. We have minutes before yourselves, colleagues. The minutes of the meeting of the 6th of August. Can I get an indication of the correctness of the meeting, of the minutes? Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Can I get a mover? Moved, seconded. Seconded. The minister therefore adopted. Any matter arising? Yes, honourable member.
Chairperson, on page 3 of the minutes in the responses to the sectional titles amendment bill, and I assume this will come up under the clause-by-clause reading, but I'd just like to confirm that Mr. de Klerk's submission, item 3.3.2, was referred to the sectional titles regulations board for discussion.
Thank you. Any other matter arising? No further matter arising. The minutes are therefore accepted. Okay, we'll now deal with the bill, the Deeds Registries Amendment Bill. We will go clause by clause. Just to say that the bill is to amend the Deeds Registration Act 1937. So as to provide discretion in respect of the rectification of errors in the name of a person or the description of property mentioned in deeds and other documents, to provide for the issuing of certificates of registered title taking the place of deeds that have become incomplete or unserviceable, to substitute an obsolete reference, to substitute an outdated heading, to delete reference to the repealed Agricultural Credit Act 1966, to further regulate the updating of these in respect of the change of names of companies, closed corporations, and the surname of women, to amend a definition and to provide for matters connected therewith. Be it enacted by Parliament of the Populous of South Africa as follows. Amendment of Section 4 of Act 47 of 1937, as amended by Section 3 of Act 43 of 1957, and Section 2 of Act 170 of 1993. Section 1 Section 4 of the Deed Registries Act 1937, Act number 47 of 1937, herein after referred to as Principal Act, is hereby amended by the substitution of Sections 1 of paragraph Roman figure 3 of paragraph B of the following subparagraphs. Roman 3, if the error is common to two or more deeds or other documents, including any register in his or her registry, the error shall be rectified in all those deeds or other documents, unless the register on good cause shown direct otherwise. Can I be addressed on this one? Agreed. Amendment of Section 38 of Act 47 of 1937. Section 38 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A, by the substitution for the heading of the following heading: Certificate of Registered Title Taking Place of Lost or Destroyed, Incomplete or Unserviceable Deed. Agreed? B, by the substitution of section subparagraph 1 of the following subsection. 1, if the title deed of any land has been lost or destroyed, incomplete or unserviceable, and the registered duplicate of such title deed has also been lost or destroyed, incomplete or unserviceable, the registrar shall, on written application by the owner of the land, accompanied by a diagram of the land, if no diagram thereof is filed in the registry or in the office of the Surveyor General concerned, execute a certificate of registered title in respect of such land in accordance with the diagram of the land. And C, by the substitution of subsection 5 of the following subsection A, a certificate of registered title issued under this section shall be as nearly as practicable in the prescribed form and shall take place of the lost or destroyed, incomplete or unserviceable title deed, and shall embody or refer to any condition, servitude, bond, lease, or encumbrance which, according to the record of the registry, was embodied or referred to in the lost or destroyed, incomplete or unserviceable title deed, or in any endorsement thereon. One member.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's just a grammatical thing. First of all, where an item is in square brackets, that's a deletion. So when we're reading it clause by clause, for example, lost or destroyed, the or is actually a deletion from the legislation. But what I actually wanted to bring your attention to is in subsection B. It talks about if the title deed of any land has been lost destroyed, incomplete or unserviceable. It should be lost, destroyed, or is incomplete or unserviceable. It doesn't make grammatical sense the way it's written in that line, and then in the next line, and the registry duplicate of such title deed has also been lost, destroyed, or is incomplete or unserviceable. I think that makes it a bit clearer. It doesn't affect subsection C, where it's actually grammatically correct, but in subsection B it needs to be correct, Chairperson.
Thank you. That grammatical correction. Any comments from the department?
We take the comments from the honourable member. We will refer it to the drafters, because sometimes it's the legal language that they use that makes us say yes or no. But we will take the, we've noted the member's comment. Thank you.
Your comment is noted. It will be referred to the drafters, and if accepted, it will apply mutatis mutandis throughout the document. Am I right? Okay. Thank you, sir. Honourable Mandela.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to know if there are any state advisors here with us today. Maybe they can assist.
Sorry, can you repeat that, Mr. Mandela?
No, Chairperson, if there are any state advisors in terms of the legal team that is here to advise us on that aspect.
Any state law advisor with you? Oh, yes. Can you comment, sir?
Thanks, Chair. I think we'll need to just apply our minds to each other, because the sentence starts with a past tense. So as you read it, it wouldn't make sense now to suddenly bring in present tense to bring is incomplete. So I think we'd need to apply our minds to what would be the effect of each person. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. So we will take it that it will be refined, it will be refined, the legal minds will look into it, and then they will attend to it accordingly. Amendment of Section 44 of Act 47 of 1937 as amended by Section 18 of Act 43 of 1962, Section 16 of Act 87 of 1965, Section 5 of Act 92 of 1978, Section 53 of Act 24 of 2003, and Section 1 of Act 11 of 2005. Section 3, Section 44 of the, paragraph 3, Section 44 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the situation of for the substitution of subsection 1 of the following subsection. If rectification of title is required in respect of any one piece of land in consequence of a survey or resurvey of such land, or of the correction of any error in the diagram thereof under the Land Survey Act 1927, or in bracket 1927 and 1997, the registrar may, on written application by the owner of the land, accompanied by the title deed and the new or the corrected diagram thereof, any bond thereon and any registered deed or lease or other registered deed whereby any real right therein is held by any other person, and the written consent of the holder of such bond, lease or right, endorsed on the aforesaid deed a description of the land according to the new or corrected diagram, which description shall supersede the description already appearing in the aforesaid deed. Agreed? Agreed. Amendment of Section 48 of Act 47 of 1937, as amended by Section 6 of Act 61 of 1969. Paragraph 4, Section 48 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution for the heading of the following heading: Special Provision Regarding a Bond Over Land in bracket Arendt Township, the Area of Jurisdiction of the Deed Registry at Johannesburg and Other Land. Agreed? Agreed. Amendment of Section 56 of Act 47 of 1937, as amended by Section 26 of Act 43 of 1957, Section 23 of Act 87 of 1965, Section 8 of Act 3 of 1972, Section 15 of Act 27 of 1982, and Section 16 of Act 14 of 1993. Paragraph 5, Section 56 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution in subsection subparagraph 1 for paragraph B of the following paragraph. B, by the trustee of an insolvent estate, an executor administering and distributing an estate under Section 34 of the Administration of Estate Act 1965, Act 66 of 1965, the liquidator of a company or a close corporation which is unable to pay its debt and which is being wound up by or under the supervision of the court or the master, in bracket the liquidator or trustee elected or appointed under the agreement Credit Act, Agricultural Credit Act 1966, Act number 28 of 1966, or end with or? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair. It ends with or because the section continues. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Agreed? Thank you very much. Agreed. Amendment of Section 93 of Act 47 of 1937. As amended by Section 38 of Act 43 of 1957, Section 36 of Act 43 of 1962, Section 21 of Act 27 of 1982, and Section 21 of Act 14 of 1993. Paragraph 6, Section 93 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution of subsection 1 for paragraph A, D, and C of the following paragraphs. A, if it appears from such deed or other document that any other person is affected by such change of name, such person shall, bracket save for the registration of a change of name in a company or close corporation, consent in writing to the aforesaid endorsement. B, the application shall, in bracket save for the registration of a change of name of a company or close corporation, close bracket, be accompanied by any other operative deed registered in the same registry in which the application's old name appears as a party thereto other than as transferor or cedent. And C, a woman who assumes her husband's surname or resumes her former surname, or Roman II, who, whether married or divorced, or a widow who adds to the surname she assumed after the marriage, any surname which she bore at any prior time, shall not be obliged to record such assumption or resumption of surname against any registered deed or other document to enable her to deal with land or a real right in land held by her under such deeds or other documents. Agreed, honorable members?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I actually don't quite understand it very clear as to whether is it saying that the same person can utilize the same surname without having to alter the document? If the person maybe is divorced,
then she wants to go back to her maiden surname. And then what is this meaning in terms of that? I just want clarification on that one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Two questions. First of all, I'm not clear why a person who is affected by a deed or other document where there's a name change and it's a company or close corporation, why they would not be notified or have to give their consent in writing. I would think that that would be a requirement. And the second thing, Chairperson, is in subparagraph C, we talk about a woman, but we now have same-sex civil unions where two men may marry and may assume, one may assume the other's name. And it strikes me that this act doesn't make provision for that, or this amendment doesn't make provision for that.
Point of correction, two men may not marry. They may have a union. It's not called marriage.
Chairperson, if I can go further. Chairperson, if I can go further, they can have a civil union, which is recognized in law, which is the equivalent of marriage, wherein it's the equivalent in law of marriage. Chairperson, I don't want to debate the civil union versus marriage thing, but my point is it's recognized in law and that the person may assume the other partner's name. Now, if that's the case, we need to make provision for it. That's all I'm asking. I don't want to debate whether we should have that law or shouldn't have that law. That's the law.
Well, remember, you say you don't want to debate it, neither do I, but we are faced with a problem that we have to resolve now. Let me hear you first.
Thank you, Chairperson. Senzo will be the man and Jason will be the woman. Thank you.
No. Okay, that's the soapy core generation now. Can we get some responses from the department? Comments?
Thank you, Chair. Once again, my name is George Sotidze. I'm from the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, from the Office of the Chief Register of Deeds. The Honorable Member talked about a person who's affected who should be consenting. But the actual fact here, those words in the brackets are just meant for the purposes of dealing with companies. The law as it stands, if maybe I am married to B and I'm changing my name, in terms of the current law, my consent will be required. But the only consent that we are saying, we're concerned with companies. So it's not correct to say that this law was suggesting that the other party shouldn't be consenting to a change of name. Then coming to the issue of the civil or whatever, same-sex civil union, yeah, this piece of legislation was aimed and drafted at a time these civil unions were not there, but the department will look into this matter. And another bill which deals with this matter will be introduced later on. We will refer this matter to the relevant structures of the department for the purposes of accommodating the same-sex marriages. Whatever. Thank you, sir.
Yes, Andrew.
Chairperson, I'm not 100% clear with regard to paragraph A. If I have a servitude registered over a land that is owned by a company or a closed corporation, over a property that is owned by a property or closed corporation, I as an individual have a servitude. I must consent to that change on the title deed because I am affected by the change on the title deed. It's not about, I accept the department's point of view with regard to the change of name of an individual or whatever it might be, but where I as an individual have a relationship with a land-owning organization and that land owning organization changes their name, I should have to provide my consent. That's the first point. Chairperson, I understand that some of these clauses are going to be referred back to the state law advisors and the drafters for correction. Is this going to come back to us for another reading before it gets tabled? And if so, could we not consider that same-sex issue at the next reading?
Can the state law advisors respond, please? Can you help us, sir?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm the parliamentary law advisor. With regard to the question of the civil union, it's something that we need to look into because we need to read the Civil Union Act and the implications of changing this section in the context of this bill and in terms of that act. So we will need time to research the implications of that.
So I think the Honourable Mandela was correct, Chairperson. This provision deals with a married person. It doesn't deal with a civil union, Chairperson. So I think at this stage, it suffices that it refers to a man who is married to a woman who assumes her husband's name. So it doesn't deal with people who are in a same-sex partnership.
But colleagues, let me try and make this comment that you can come afterwards. I think the point has been made by the Honourable there in terms of this issue. The first reply was that it was drafted before, right? Before the issue of the civil union and so on came into the debate. I think it's only fair for the drafters to go back and look deeply into these things, because it's not going to help rush it through and tomorrow it can't stand the test in the court of law. I think let's allow them to go back, redraft it, research, look at what the Civil Union Act is saying and so on, and craft it, which it can still come back for us to endorse it, the parts that we haven't agreed upon. I think let's take that route. Agreed?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yeah, I also requested clarity with regard to Section C, Roman Figure 2, with regard to a woman who actually divorced and wanted to go back to her maiden surname. Because here it is recorded that the person might not record that new surname. So I just want to find out exactly what is the meaning of this. Thank you.
Department?
Thank you, Chair. This section is primarily aimed at alleviating the position of women who are assuming their double barrel surnames. So the idea behind this section, under normal circumstances, if you change your name before you deal with your land, whether it's either by means or whether you have divorced or whatever you have done, you first have to amend your surname in the registered records. So now we are saying, for those who want to assume double barrel surnames, they need not go first amend the existing title deeds before they can deal with their land. So we are making life easier for the current trends where the double barrel surnames are an issue. Thank you, sir.
Can I add?
Edition?
Yeah. Especially during this Women's Month, what the Honourable Member asked is already provided for in the current law. But what was not provided for was the double barrel surname. That was not there. So the people who divorced previously, they could change their name as and when they want to do it. But what was not provided for was the double barrel surname, which we are now providing for. but the rest was is already in the law as it stands right now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We agreed. Thank you very much. We shall proceed. Amendment of Section 102 of Act 47 of 1937, as amended by Section 12 of Act 3 of 1972, Section 22 of Act 27 of 1982, Section 9 of Act 62 of 1984, Section 4 of Act 75 of 1987, Section 7 of Act 3 of 1988, Section 6 of Act 24 of 1989, Section 32 of Act 113 of 1991, Section 82 of Act 40 of 1993, Section 74 of Act 120 of 1993, Section 68 of Act 67 of 1995, Section 9 of Act 11 of 1996, Section 10 of Act 11 of 1996, Proclamation R9 of 31st January 1997, Section 10 of Act 1996, Section 10 of Act 93 of 1998, Section 2 of Act 9 of 2003, Section 53 of Act 24 of 2003, Section 46 of Act 11 of 2004, and Section 6 of Act 12 of 2010. Paragraph 7. Section 102 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution for the definition of deed registry of the following definition. Deed registry means A. When used in relation to immovable property, the deed registry which serves the area in which that property is situated. B. When used in relation to any deed or other document, any deed registry in the Republic wherein that deed or other document is registered or registrable. Or C. When used in relation to a register, the deed registry of which he or she is in charge, but does not include the mining titles office referred to in Section 3 of the Registration of Deeds and Titles Act of 1906, Act Number 25 of 1909 of the Transvaal. Agreed? Silence means consent, confusion, consent. Department?
Chair, I was just conspiring with the state law advisors behind. Maybe it's conspiring is not the right way. it was in relation to the first section which the honorable member raised the consent, that it is not necessary to put is, because if you read the sentence in totality, then event does not read. So it's the first sentence where the honorable member was talking about is incomplete, is then not, that does then not read if you then put is there. Thank you, Chair.
You refer it to the grammatical consent that were raised. Okay. That's fine. So are we agreed with this last one? Agreed.
Just for the purposes of recordings, are we saying now, after your explanation on clause C, on subsection C of clause 6, that it remains as it is, that clause?
Of the double parental surname remains as it is. the part that we will come into another amendment. What normally happens with this act is that when other laws are amended, we then amend. That is why you see it almost every year that you come here for amendment. So the issue of the civil union or civil marriages will then come into the next cycle of amendments, because it goes through a process where there's a deeds regulation board that sits to look at these issues. We then refer to the state law advisor. So we are requesting that it does not need to be amended now. We will then bring in a new amendment. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable, sorry, can you say your surname again?
Yes, my surname is Malham.
Malham.
You pronounce it Malham.
Malham.
Yeah, Malham.
Honourable Malham.
They used to call me Malema in Dublin.
Okay, Honourable Malham.
Maybe it's because I was born in the side of the ANC. Chairperson, I am concerned about the constitutionality if we don't rectify this. In other words, this could be challenged on a constitutional basis if we don't rectify the discrimination that is included here. I'm just raising it as a concern. We do have a process still to go, and we have the opportunity at this point to remedy it. Why not take the opportunity now while we're discussing it? Why not take that opportunity and rectify it? Go back to the state law advisors, check the Civil Unions Act, and for Honourable Mandela's information, the Civil Unions Act does actually refer to marriage. I just checked it up. It does refer to a civil union or a marriage between same-sex persons. But I think we do need to actually take the opportunity to rectify it while we have it in front of us.
Well, members, I think earlier on I made a ruling on this matter. And I would appeal that the only thing that we can do is to look at when is the next meeting where you can come and report on the amendment as proposed here or otherwise. Because if after doing your research, your research will be able to tell you as to how best you can craft these particular laws. And the way things are now, we are accepting all the amendments except that one. Am I right? So that I don't want us to come here and start the process from the beginning. Yeah. We are amending everything except Section 6. Is that the whole of Section 6? Or C, only C?
Yeah, I never received an answer regarding my concern about persons affected by a company ownership or a closed corporation's ownership of land. And just there are other entities besides companies and closed corporations. There are non-profit organizations that own land, the institutions. It strikes me that this clause is a little bit weak. The 6A and B are a little bit weak. But I never received an answer from the department regarding the persons who are affected by that.
Any comment by the department?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. We're taking notice of the concerns of the Honourable Member. But once again, here the idea was to say when the property is registered in the name of a company, we are awaiting a situation whereby all the deeds that are registered in the name of that company will have to be lodged. So the idea behind those words in the brackets was to cater for a situation whereby the deeds need not all be lodged. Not that we are saying the parties must not consent, but what we are saying there, the idea is to have the deeds not to be lodged. I hope maybe that makes sense to you, Honourable Member.
And what about non-profits,
Okay.
Maybe let me explain the process that happens currently. When a big company, Acetal Mittal, for example, changes their name to Acetone, whatever, they then apply to the Chief Register of Deeds to have their title deeds to give in that exception that they can lodge their title deeds piecemeal, that they can lodge as and when they deal with those properties. So, but then that is an administrative exercise that we then have to then issue a circular, and then they have to prove that they have got so many properties. But now what we are doing is that we are then putting it in the law that it will be in the discretion of the registrar to then say, given the magnitude of deeds that needs to be amended, they can be dealt with in piecemeal. It doesn't matter who the owner is. It can be a non-profit organization. It can even be a person, for that matter, who owns a number of deeds everywhere in the country. So that when they don't have to then submit all the deeds, because it could be 1,000 deeds all in one batch. So we are then saying that it must then be submitted in a piecemeal at the discretion of the registrar, because they will then have done a search that all the properties that are there can be amended in a piecemeal fashion. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I hope the answers do satisfy the honourable members who raised the question. So I take it therefore, honourable colleagues, that we have dealt with the clause by clause, and we have agreed on all the amendments except the one on section 6 C. That is the one that the department will come back to us after doing the work that we have asked them to do, together with the state that the department of state advises. And the next, I think it will only be able to serve before us on the on the 11th of September. That will be next month. So by that time, I hope you will be able to provide us with an amended version that takes into account what has been said, depending on the outcome of your investigation and research. Am I making myself clear? Department?
Chair, yes, you are 100% clear. What my colleague was whispering me at the moment was then to say, if it pleases the committee, we can then omit subsection C in this amendment, and then we then do the whole amendment afresh, and then bring it with the new amendment. At the same time, there is no discrimination that is implied by not having the civil union not expressly mentioned here in the act as currently expressed. There are mechanisms in the deeds office where you then even do an endorsement to bring a registration fact into the title deed. So Chair, we hear what you are saying. We are then proposing that, one, we can either withdraw this subsection, or we can leave it as it is, if we leave it as it is, there are current mechanisms in the deed office of bringing effect that has taken place. That there's, for example, Section 31V in the deed office that we use as a general section to bring a registration fact that something has taken place, and we are then recording it as an endorsement. If then there are more of those endorsements, we then put it in the act to then make the legal status clear that we are recognizing the civil unions, etc. But at the moment, there's nothing that is discriminating by not having civil the same sex marriage and the civil union in currently expressed in the act. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. And also,
thank you very much, Chairperson. I think, Chairperson, you were very clear asking the department to go back and look into the matter. Why a rush? Because once we do a rush, and now they are proposing that we exclude section C. Why? Because here it also it is also addressing the issue of double barrels in A, as they have indicated. But now they want us to draw away with the whole C, because they want us to agree to the amendments. So I don't see any logic in this case. I'm just asking us, maybe them, to take the proposal from the committee as you requested, that they go back and we do the right thing once and for all. We don't have to do it in a piecemeal, where we are going to exclude others and saying that in the next amendment we will not be here, some of us, because it's next term. And this amendment came at our time. So why do we refer it to the next term? Thank you.
Chair, I think that is what I wanted to propose, that you've made the ruling. Let the department take its own time, look at this matter, and see how can they amend it. If really there's a need for the inclusion of what has been raised by the member, they will do that and present it on the 11th, as you have indicated. I think that is...
So we will close this matter by saying that the department must go back. If in your own time you want to withdraw, whatever you want to withdraw is up to you, but we are saying from what has been said here, go and look at this matter in terms of the civil union and stuff, so that at least it becomes, it's only one subsection that we're going to look at. I think you can go back with pride, because the entire bill has been accepted. It's just only one subsection. And we are saying you can only wait for about maybe 3 weeks or 4 weeks, whatever it is. I think about 3 weeks or 4 weeks, we'll be back here just to give you the go-ahead, provided how it is crafted, and then we move on. Thank you very much, colleagues. So I'm not going to read the short title, because we will read it on the 11th. Right. So thank you very much. Now deal with the sectional titles amendment bill. To amend the Sectional Titles Act 1986, so as to amend certain definitions to further regulate notification of the intended establishment of schemes and the sale of units to leases, to provide for the cancellation of registered sectional plans in a prescribed manner, to regulate the issuing of a certificate of registered sectional title in respect of a fraction of an undivided share in a section, to provide for the deletion of an obsolete reference, to provide for the registration of a transfer of part of the common property with the consent of the owners of the sections and the holders of registered real rights, to provide for the endorsing of title deeds to reflect amended participation in quota schedules, to regulate the alienation of a portion of land over which a real right of extension or part thereof is registered, to provide for consent of holders of registered real rights over exclusive use of areas to the alienation of common property, to provide for the cession of a mortgage real right of extension and a mortgage real right of exclusive use area, to provide for the cancellation of part of a section pursuant to an expropriation, to further provide for the consent of holdholders with the registration of a sectional plan of extension, to provide for the issuing of more than one certificate of real rights of extension and more than one certificate of real right of exclusive use area, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Be it enacted by Parliament of the Republic of South Africa as follows. Amendment of Section 1 of Act 95 of 1986, as amended by Section 1 of Act 63 of 1991, Section 1 of Act 7 of 1992, Section 1 of Act 15 of 1993, Section 1 of Act 44 of 1997, Proclamation R9 of 31st January 1997, Section 1 of Act 29 of 2003, Section 1 of Act 7 of 2005, Section 1 of Act 6 of 2006, and Section 1 of Act 11 of 2010. Paragraph 1, Section 1 of Sectional Titles Act 1986, herein after referred to as the Principal Act, is hereby amended. A. By the substitution in subsection 1 of the definition of architect of the following definition. Architect means a person registered as an architect in terms of Section 19 of Architects Act 1970, Act Number 35 of 1970, a professional architect in terms of Section 18, Subparagraph 1A, Roman Figure 1 of the Architectural Profession Act 2000, Act Number 44 of 2000, read with Section 19 of that Act, and who has met the requirement set out in Section 5, Subsection 2 of this Act. B. By the substitution of Subsection 1 for Paragraph A of the definition of developer of the following paragraph. A. For the purpose of Section 4, Subparagraph 3, 10 and 15B, Subparagraph 3C, also the agent of any such person or his or her successor in title or any other person acting on behalf of any of them, and C, by the substitution in subsection 1 for the definition of land surveyor of the following definition. Land surveyor means a person registered as a professional land surveyor in the register prescribed in Section 7, subparagraph 4A of the Professional Land Surveyors and Technical Surveyors Act 1994, Act Number 40 of 1984, and who has met the requirement set out in Section 5, subparagraph 2 of this Act. Comments? Honourable Madam,
thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have two comments. First of all, the question that I raised under matters arising earlier about Mr. de Klerk's submission regarding representatives, which the department agreed with in principle and undertook to take back to the Sectional Titles Regulations Board. I'd like clarity as to whether or not that was done so, and if so, what was their input on this matter. The second question, Chairperson, relates to subparagraph C of the amendment, where it refers to Section 74A of the Professional and Technical Surveyors Act 1984. We've just gone through a process where the Geomatics Professions Bill was adopted by the House, and I'm aware that it hasn't been signed into law yet, but surely we should make provision for that now, because this Act will come into effect after that Act gets signed into law. And that replaces, it repeals the Professional and Technical Surveyors Act. In fact, it repeals it in its entirety.
Department? In terms of the first question from the Honourable Member that arises from the matters arising, the Sectional Titles Board meeting sits every year, and it's sitting in September, around, I think it's 12th of September. So it is on the agenda for, Mr. de Klerk's met is on the agenda for that board meeting. In terms of the question on the geomatics profession bill, we also have consensus from the state law advisors that yes, you are correct. However, it's just a matter of it's just a matter of time. If this bill is approved before that bill, then the amendment we should not amend it. So it will be a matter of time. I don't know how we can word it in such a way that when the geomatics bill comes into law, we then effect that change automatically. So, Chair, the Honourable Member is correct. It's just a matter of time. As the law states, the amendment is correct because that bill has not come yet into law. So it's just a technicality.
Mr. Malam, I'm sure we can live with that. Oh, sorry, I don't see. Sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to inform the committee, Chair, yesterday the select committee passed the geomatics professions bill, so it will be before the NCOB shortly. And as the Honourable Member has said, we are going to pass legislation where this act is going to be completely repealed very shortly. So it is something the committee should consider, and we can remove the reference to the Professional Land Surveyors and Technical Surveyors Act and reword that section so that is removed, so it doesn't become obsolete in a matter of weeks or months.
Can we take that approach? Agreed. Thank you very much. Amendment of Section 4 of Act 95 of 1986, as amended by Section 2 of Act 63 of 1991, Section 2 of Act 15 of 1993, Section 2 of Act 44 of 1997, and Section 2 of Act 29 of 2003. Paragraph 2, Section 4 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A. By the substitution in subsection 3, subparagraph A, for paragraph Roman figure 1 of the following subparagraphs. 1, Roman figure 1, has been notified in writing by the developer by a letter delivered either personally or dispatched by a registered post of a date at least 14 days after delivery or dispatch of such letter, if the case may be, of a meeting of such leases to be held in the building in question or in any other building within the reasonable distance from the first mentioned building,
within the area of jurisdiction of the local authority concerned, at which the developer intends to be available to provide the leases with AA such particulars of the relevant scheme as they may reasonably require from him or her, and BB, the information regarding their rights as set out in Section 10 of this Act, and B, by the substitution in Section 3 for paragraph B of the following paragraph. Paragraph B, a meeting contemplated in paragraph A, Roman figure 1, has been held and the developer has been available thereat to provide the particulars contemplated in the said paragraph and has answered all reasonable questions put to the developer by the lessee's present. Provided that the developer need not comply with this subsection if all such lessees have stated in writing that they are aware of their rights, which shall also be set out in such statement, and they do not wish to purchase the proposed unit which they occupy, and a conveyancer has certified in writing that such statements have been received in respect of all the units in question, provided further that a share block company applying for the approval of a development scheme need not comply with the requirement of this subsection if that share block company has, within a period of 2 years before such application, already complied with Section 11A of the Share Blocks Control Act 1980, Act Number 59 of 1980. Agreed. Thank you. Amendment of Section 14 of Act 95 of 1986, as amended by Section 8 of Act 63 of 1991, Section 4 of Act Number 7 of 1992, and Section 5 of Act 11 of 2010. Paragraph 3. Section 14 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution of subsection 8 of the following subsection. Paragraph 8. Subsection 8, a registered sectional plan shall, subject to the provision of subsection 6 of section 17, subsection 6, 48 and 49, only be cancelled by an order of the court, and the register shall give effect to any such cancellation by making the necessary endorsements and entries in his or her record in the prescribed manner, and shall notify the Surveyor General, who shall cancel the original sectional plan and the deeds office copy thereof. Agreed? Agreed. Amendment of Section 15B of Act 95 of 1986, as amended by Section 10 of Act 44 of 1987, Section 2 of Act 6 of 2006, and Section 6 of Act 11 of 2010. Paragraph 4. Section 15B of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the addition after subsection 6 of the following subsections. Subsection 7. A certificate of registered sectional title mentioned in subsection 5A may be obtained upon written application in the prescribed form by the owner to the register. Subparagraph 8, an application under subsection 7 shall be accompanied by A, the sectional title deed of the unit, B, any sectional mortgage bond registered over the unit or over any registered real rights over the unit, C, any title deed of registered real rights over the unit, and D, the certificate of registered sectional title in the prescribed form. Subparagraph 9, before issuing a certificate contemplated in subsection 7, the registrar must make upon the deeds
and bonds as referred to in subsection 8A to C, an endorsement to the effect that a certificate of registered sectional title has been substituted for the said sectional title deed in respect of the share in question. Subparagraph 10, subject to subsection 9, the registrar must further make such entries as are necessary to give effect to this section and must, if the unit is mortgaged, endorse that fact upon the certificate. Subsection 11, the provision of subsections 8 to 10 apply with the necessary changes to an application for a certificate of registered sectional title or a certificate of real right as contemplated in subsection 5, subparagraph A hereof. Agreed? Honourable
Madam? I'm looking at 8C. If you read subsection 7, it says a certificate of registered sectional title may be obtained upon written application. Then it says under section 8, an application under section 7 shall be accompanied by, and D is the certificate. So now you're applying for a certificate, but you've got to submit the certificate as part of the application.
Department? Thank you, Chair. The reason for this, these certificates are being prepared by conveyancers. So it's not the deeds office that prepares them. So this certificate must be prepared by the conveyancer. That's why you're having that 8C there. I mean, D.
Just to add, what happens in practice is that the owner applies for a certificate of registered title. So there's an application that is filled in by the owner. And then the conveyancer then prepares that certificate in a prescribed format. So the application is more like a power of attorney that then entitles the conveyancer to prepare that certificate in the prescribed manner. So the application then becomes a supporting document to the certificate of registered title. So it's consequential, if I can put it that way.
Okay, thank you. So we proceed. Amendment of Section 17 of Act 95 of 1986, as amended by Section 11 of Act 63 of 1991, Section 11 of Act 44 of 1997, Section 53 of Act 24 of 2003, Section 4 of Act 29 of 2003, and Section 5 of Act 6 of 2006. Paragraph 5, Section 17 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A. By the substitution in subsection 4A for paragraph B of the following paragraph. B. The Surveyor General shall notify the Registrar of a change or amendment of a sectional plan in terms of paragraph A, which affects the description or extent of a section, and thereupon the Registrar shall register the transfer of the part of the land included in the scheme, and then B, by the insertion subsection 4A after paragraph B of the following paragraph. BA, registration of the transfer under paragraph B shall be effected upon written consent over the owner of the owner of the section and section N, where applicable, holders of any registered real rights over the section, provided that the registrar shall not register the transfer of the common property unless the sectional title deed of the affected section and, where applicable, the title deed of the holder of any registered real rights over the section is endorsed with the new extent as reflected in the amendment participation quota schedule. C, by the addition
after subsection 4B of the following subsection, 4C, the provision of subsection 4B shall apply with the necessary changes where, in terms of subsection 1, it is sought to alienate a portion of land on which a real right of extension in terms of section 25 or any part of such right is registered. And D, by the substitution for subsection 5 of the following subsection. Subsection 5, when the whole of the land comprised in the common property shown on the signal plan is transferred by the body corporate pursuant to this section, the sectional title deed of the owner of the unit, the title deed of the holder of any registered real rights in the unit, the title deed of the holder of exclusive use areas, and the title deed of the holder of any registered real right over the exclusive use area shall be surrendered to the registrar for cancellation, and the title deed for any other registered real rights in the land or exclusive use area, together with the consent of the holder of such right, shall be surrendered to the registrar for endorsement, and the registrar shall close the sectional title register and notify the Surveyor General and the local authority that the sectional title register has been closed. Agreed? Agreed. Thank you very much. Substitution of Section 18 of Act 95 of 1986. Paragraph 6. The following section is hereby substituted for Section 18 of the Principal Act. Transfer of mortgage unit, undivided share, common property or land, and cession of mortgage lease or real right. Paragraph 18, the provision of section 56 and 57 of the Deed Registries Act shall apply, mutatis mutandis, with the necessary changes to the transfer of any mortgaged unit or undivided share in a unit, the cession of any mortgage lease of a unit or undivided share in a unit, the cession of any mortgage real right in or over a unit or an undivided share in a unit, the cession of any mortgage real right under section 25 and 27 of this Act, or an undivided share therein, and a transfer under section 17 of this Act of any mortgage common property or land for an undivided share therein. Agreed? Agreed, thank you. Amendment of section 19 of Act 95 of 1986, as amended by section 12 of Act 44 of 1997. Paragraph 7, section 19 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A, by the substitution of subsection 4 of the following subsection. Subsection 4. When land comprising common property on which a section or a part of a section is erected is transferred pursuant to an expropriation, the registrar shall cancel registration of which section of such section or part of such section in his or her records and shall endorse the deed registry copy of the relevant title and any bond, lease, or other registered document affected to reflect the cancellation of the section or part of such section, and shall in like manner endorse the owner's copy of the title deed or the holder's copy of the bond, lease, or other document whenever subsequently lodged at the deed registry of any purpose. And B, by the substitution for section subparagraph 5 of the following subsection. Subparagraph 5, the provision of such of section 17, subsection 4, A, C, and D,
4A, 4B, and 5 shall apply with the necessary changes to the cancellation of the section or part of such section in terms of subsection 4. Agreed? Agreed. Thank you very much. Amendment of Section 25 of Act 95 of 1986, as amended by Section 15 of Act 63 of 1991, Section 6 of Act 7 of 1992, Section 18 of Act 44 of 1997, Section 6 of Act 29 of 2003, Section 3 of Act 7 of 2005, and Section 8 of Act 11 of 2010. Paragraph 8, Section 25 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A. By the substitution in subsection 1 for the words preceding paragraph A of the following words. Subparagraph 1. A developer may subject the provision of section 4, subparagraph 2, in his or her application for the registration of a sectional plan reserve in a condition imposed in terms of section 11, subsection 2, the right to erect, complete, or include from time to time, but within a period stipulated in such condition or such extended period as may be agreed upon by unanimous resolution of the body corporate and with the consent of the bondholder, existing on the date of the taking of the unanimous resolution, which resolution and consent must be obtained by the notary and filed in his or her protocol prior to the expiry of the stipulated period by way of a bilateral notarial deed for his or her personal account. B. By the substitution in subsection 4 for the word preceding paragraph A of the following words. Subparagraph 4. A right reserved in terms of subsection 1, vested in terms of section 6, or registered in terms of subsection 6A, and in respect of which a certificate of real right has been issued. C. By the substitution in subsection 10 for paragraph D of the following paragraph. Subparagraph D. Certificates of registered sectional title in the prescribed form in favor of the developer, his or her successor in title, or the body corporate, as the case may be, in respect of his section, and a certificate or certificates of real right in respect of the rights of exclusive use reflected on the plan of extension. D. By the substitution in subsection 10, subparagraph DA, for subparagraph Roman 2 and 3 of the following subparagraphs, respectively. Roman 2, the certificate or certificates of real right in respect of the right of exclusive use as contemplated by section 10, subsection C and D, and section 27, subsection 1, and Roman figure 3, if applicable, the certificate or certificates of real right in respect of the remainder of the right reserved in terms of subsection 1, and E, by the substitution in subsection 11 for paragraph C of the following paragraph. Subparagraph C, simultaneously with the registration of the sectional plan of the extension issued to the developer, his or her successor in title or the body corporate, as the case may be, a certificate of registered sectional title in respect of each section depicted on the sectional plan of extension and its undivided share in the common property, and a certificate or certificates of real right in respect of rights of exclusive use subject to any mortgage bond registered against the title deed of the right of extension, furnish the local authority concerned with a copy of such plan of extension and notify the Surveyor General of the registration of such plan of extension. And thereupon the Surveyor General shall amend the original sectional plan and the deeds office of copy of the sectional plan to reflect such extension. Agreed?
Thank you very much. Agreed. Amendment of Section 27 of Act 95 of 1986, as amended by Section 17 of Act 63 of 1991, Section 20 of Act 44 of 1997, Section 8 of Act 29 of 2003, Section 4 of Act 7 of 2005, and Section 9 of Act 11 of 2010. Paragraph 9, Section 27 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A, by the substitution in subsection 1D for subparagraph Roman 1 of the following subparagraph Roman 1, apply to the registrar for the issuing of a certificate or certificate of real right of exclusive use in its favor. And B, by any substitution in subsection 1 for paragraph E of the following paragraph, subparagraph E, the registrar shall, after consideration of the application in paragraph D, issue such certificate or certificates in the prescribed form. C, by the substitution for subsection 1B of the following subsection. Subsection 1B, upon compliance with subsection 1A, this act shall apply with the necessary changes to such real rights as if it had originally formed part of the application for the opening of the sectional title register, and such certificate or certificates of real right shall be issued subject to any sectional mortgage bond against the land. D, by the substitution in subsection 4C for subparagraph Roman 1 of the following subparagraph, Roman figure 1, apply to the registrar for the issuing of a certificate or certificates of real rights of exclusive use in his favor, and E, by the substitution in subsection 4 for paragraph D of the following paragraph, paragraph D, the registrar must issue such certificate or certificates in the prescribed form. Agreed?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I just want to find out from this actually subsection D line number 60. It says Roman figure 1, apply to the registrar for issuing of a certificate or certificate of real rights of exclusive right use in favor of, in its favor. And then there is all, there is double, there is and. So I just want to find out why the two end. Is it proper this way? Thank you.
What meant? I know you answered the question earlier, but
the first end is for Roman figure 2, and then the second end is for Roman is for subparagraph E. I don't know if it's
okay. Thank you very much. Agreed. This act is called the Sectional Title Amendments Act 2013. Thank you. Siyabonga Melana. Do you have an amendment on this one? No. We do. Oh yeah, it's accepted with that amendment, right? Oh yes. Okay. Thank you. So we have accepted the bill with the amendments. And I'm sure during the meeting of the 11th we'll be able to finalize that other amendment, the earlier amendment, and this one also will get. My understanding is on this one we don't expect them to come back, do we? On this last amendment, I know the first one we agreed that we will come back on the 11th to deal with the issue that we're raising of not excluding anybody. But on this one, what are we saying?
Thank you, Chairperson. Because they're still going to do some investigations and come back to us to tell us exactly what is the status in terms of the geomatics bill. So that's what we also want to know, because we cannot just say we agree on everything, whereas they're still going to do some research on other matters. Thank you.
So therefore, on both bills, we've agreed on everything except one little section on the first one and this one little section on the second one. And on the meeting of the 11th, we'll only look at how they have crafted those two sections. Agreed. Okay, thank you. Well, in as far as our business with the bills, we are done. We are now going to deal with some logistics in terms of the workshop. Can you give your brief report?
Thank you, Chair. Members will leave from Parliament immediately after the plenary to Stellenbosch. There is nothing that is happening tomorrow, just to prepare members to have enough time to rest so that we can start early on Friday morning. And then we'll sleep over again on Friday